that. Governor Frank Murphy has just approached the microphone and is being given a tremendous reception by this very large crowd in Cadillac Square, Detroit. The next voice you will hear will be that of Governor Frank Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Automobile Workers Union, the Committee of Industrial Organization, all members of organized labor and friends of organized labor present, let me tell you how happy I am to see you here today. And to say one or two things to you at the beginning that I want to confide to you. My splendid and generous friend, Adolph Germer, has said something to you about the election. Otherwise, I wouldn't mention it. I want to say this to you about it. As far as I'm concerned, please forget it. You owe me nothing. I've never done a thing for you but my duty. I have no claim. No claim on you. For 15 years, the toilers of this city and of this state have done things for me way beyond my just desert. I ask only for one privilege. That is the one of serving you within my modest limitations as best I can. For principles are far more important than personalities. And it makes little difference what happens to me personally, but it means everything in the world that organized labor keeps going to improve the conditions. Under which men and women labor and live today. And so, my friends, lift up your hearts. And take hope because of your very presence here in this great multitude. Lift up your hearts and take hope because of the things that earnest men and women with all their heart and soul are trying to do in the democracies today upon this earth. My friends, one of the strangest of all things that history records is the reaction of the human race to those that toil. I'm speaking now about all that's happened in the flight of time. There isn't a responsible man in the field of education, religion, or politics upon this earth, but who knows that the toilers and the workers all during time have carried the burden for the human family. They toilers, my friend, by the sweat of their brow, by the very sweat of their brow, have built the shelters over our heads. They've woven the garments we wear. They've brought to us our food. The toilers, my friends, those that plow the fields in the rural areas, those that work in industrial centers and in the mines, with their calloused hands and their bended backs, these people have opened the lands of civilization, built the ox cart, next the sailboat, then the automobile and the great ocean liners, the magnificent plane that just went above our head, so that the restless, curious, human family could travel and work all over the Lord's great footstool. In addition, my friends, what has the toiler and the worker done? His blood has drenched every battlefield that man ever fought upon. With patience and with fortitude, those who work for a wage and those who do the modest, humble, and inconspicuous task of this life have patiently taken the reward of the human family. What has it been during the past centuries and the past decade? Why, he's been suppressed. He's been forced to work at a wage unfit for him and his family to live by. His children have been put into the mine. His women have been put at the work that women should never be worked at. In time of unemployment, if he protested, often he got the bayonet, or he got the bullet, or force and violence has been used upon him. Do you know, my friend, it's only been within the past few decades that civilized society viewed organization of a labor union as a criminal conspiracy. That's a fact. They were put in jail just for belonging to organized labor, as if organized labor wasn't a movement to affect the lives and properties adversely of the rest of society. Organized labor not only helps organized labor, it blesses all of society, every phase of the human life. And the curious thing, that while society has taken this reaction, all during time, so many of these people have professed Christianity. Christianity's beautiful. It's my faith, the faith of my fathers. I embrace it heartily, but because I do, it doesn't mean that I can't understand the Hebrew. It doesn't mean that I can't understand the non-believer. It doesn't mean that as the Governor General of the Philippine Islands, that I couldn't protect the Mohammedan in his faith, which I did. These are the things. These are the things, my friends, that mark civilization, refinement, enlightenment, and the human family moving forward together. But the Christian should remind himself that the Prince of Peace, the greatest friend of peace between nations, the one who stands for industrial peace, his chief concern while he lived on this earth was for the lowly and for the labor. His great compassion for the multitudes, his vast, immeasurable sympathy for those who were underprivileged is what brought him to his untimely end. It was his social views that they objected to. And incidentally here, let me point out one great gratitude that I have to you. Some of us, whether you believe it or not, are honestly making the fight, valiant as we can, for decent and incorruptible government, for government that's honest, freed from the spoiled system, freed from machine politics, freed from rottenness and graft, corruption, and all that sort of thing. Do you know where we get our support? We get it from the ranks of labor. It's the laboring man that supports good, clean government. I don't mean by that that it hasn't.
Ladies and gentlemen, We regret that the time commitments of this station do not permit completion of Governor Murphy's address. You have been listening to a part of the Labor Day celebration in Cadillac Square, Detroit. Your narrator is John McKay. Today's best story will be with you tomorrow at the usual hour, 5:30 p.m. Until then, this is John McKay signing off and bidding you good evening.